post-resurrection time, but today we go back and look at Maundy Thursday when Jesus is still alive on earth, and we'll learn a lesson of love today, so stay tuned for that. Well, the first announcement rolling in front of you on the screens, you can see our head elder. That's a new thing that we've added to the PowerPoint loop each week. We're going to highlight the lead elder of the day, and today is Mike Dressler. So if you have any questions about what's happening at Zion, he'll be happy to help you out, answer your questions the best that he can. And the elders will also share their favorite Bible verse. So there's Mike. Next announcement, there's a meeting for Zion's hostess group today after the late service in the conference room. More hostesses are needed to help with all the activities we have in the atrium each month. So please come and find out more about the program and to discuss upcoming events. Next announcement is remember to drop off your diaper donations at the crib in the east entry by the door to the atrium. The last count, we had 716 diapers so far. And then we continue to walk home from Jerusalem. Right now we are swimming in the Atlantic Ocean with only 3,708 miles to get home. So continue to send your miles to Parish Nurse Rachel. Pastor Grahams will be leading a men's Bible study this summer every Tuesday at noon beginning June 3rd in the conference room by the office. He'll be looking at the timeline of Jesus' ministry. So that's June, July, and August, and then we'll reevaluate from there, and we'll let you know what's going to continue to happen for men's Bible study. And then finally, we'll have a special congregational meeting on June 8th to discuss the self-survey results that were part of the call process. So we will meet in the atrium during the Bible study hour on June 8th. Those are the announcements I have. So good to have you all here. Once again, why don't we rise, turn, and greet one another in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church in the heart of Sioux Falls. Please join us now as our worship service begins. The opening hymn is taken from the Lutheran Service Book number 790, Praise to the Lord Almighty, verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? We come humbly before you, O Lord, recognizing that we have not always responded to your grace and faithfulness and obedience. Often we feel we deserve more or better, forgetting and rejecting your word and your works of salvation. At times we are lured by the world's deceptions, consumed by greed, passion, and desire. We fail to be thoroughly grounded in the joy of your word. Forgive us, dear Lord, for rejoicing in the temporal treasures on earth instead of the eternal treasures of heaven. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive my impatience and my neglect. By your Spirit, lead me to greater faith, humility, service, and repentance, until your call to eternal glory comes. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our intro this morning is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all his shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. And he established them forever and ever.
He issued.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. You mountains and all his hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth.
Young men and women, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
And he has raised up for his people a banner. Praise all his faithful servants, Israel, the people close to his heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Let them praise the name of the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll have our time in the Word.
Good morning. Children's message is on page 330. I should have my glasses on so I can see the page number. Jesus teaches about heaven. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is telling them what is going to happen to him. Some men are going to take him and kill him because Jesus tells them not to be afraid. He says that God will take care of them. Jesus tells them that he will go away to his Father, away up in heaven. When he gets there, he will get places ready for them to come to live. He is getting a place ready for you to live in heaven too, if you love Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm so glad to hear that you are getting a place ready in heaven for all your people. Amen. Our first reading today comes from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who was called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all of your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, 'So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading today is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the words and ministry of Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel today is from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good. Okay, I have a question you might not know the answer to. I might need Dad's help. Have you ever played on a sports team? Okay, so anyone, have you ever played on a sports team, did your coach ever just tell you what to do and expect you to do it? Like just make the layup or slide into the base, kick the field goal, do it. Did they just expect you to know how? Probably not, okay? Or like if you've ever had a teacher before, did your teacher say, just add the fractions and write the paragraph, and then they give you the worksheet and they just expect you to do it? Would that be a very good teacher? No, right? What a good teacher or a coach is going to show you how to do something, right? Yeah, they'll show you how to do something. Kind of like your mom and dad probably show you how to do stuff too, yeah? Do they show you how to put your clothes away? Are your toys away? Yeah, right? A good teacher shows us how to do something before they expect us to do it, right? Oh, I have a picture of that here. You see there's a teacher there? She's showing them how, right? And there's a coach there. They show you how, right? And then when you learn how to do something, you could even show someone else how to do it. So in our true Bible reading today, Jesus is talking to his friends, and he tells them to do something. He says, love other people like I have loved you. So what does he tell them to do? Love, right? He says go love people. But he doesn't just go expect them to know how. He says love as I have loved you, right? And so they needed to think about all the ways that Jesus had loved them first. You see those pictures of Jesus? Can you see him in there? All the ways that he is loving his disciples. First, he invited them to be his friends and spend time with them. He helped them understand God better and his plan. He took care of them even when it was hard. This is when he's washing their stinky feet. He took care of them when they were sad. You see how they look sad in that picture? And ultimately, he wore that pokey crown, right? And he went up on the cross and he took their sins away and died for them. That's amazing love, right? And he did those things for us too. He invited us to be his children. He spends time with us. He takes care of us. When it's hard or when we're sad. And ultimately, he gave us his life for us too, right? The cross is for us too. That's why we have a big cross right there, see? Yeah, because the cross is for us too. What amazing love he showed us. So some people think love is just making people feel happy. That's nice, right? But it's more than that. Jesus showed us what love is. It's inviting and teaching and sharing and taking care of people and thinking of them first. Do you think those are things we can do too? I think so. Look at these pictures. these are pictures of those kids doing those things, right? Because they know who Jesus is, right? And so we do too. And so we can invite others to join us to play. We can tell people who God is. We can pray with them. We can take care of them. When they're sad, we can put other people's needs first. It's a lot more than saying, I love you, and it's not easy, right? But God doesn't expect us to do it perfectly. But every time we do kind and loving things, it points people straight back to who Jesus is, right? Yeah. All right. So we're going to pray, and we're going to thank him for being so loving to us, right? And help us to show that love to our brother, right? And mom and dad and everybody we know. All right, let's pray and let's thank him for showing us what love is. Dear Jesus, thank you for inviting us to be your children and taking care of us and loving us and perfectly showing us what love is by going to the cross. And so help us to show that love to others so they can know who you are. Amen. Good job today. You did well.
The sermon hymn this morning is taken from a Lutheran service book number 700, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Pastor Greg Lehr is now entering the pulpit to deliver today's message for the fifth Sunday after Easter. Love one another.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This gospel reading today from John chapter 13 tells us of an event that took place before that first Easter. We're reading the story during the Easter season after Jesus already died and rose from the dead. We're looking back at what Jesus did in his life on earth in light of his death and resurrection. Everything that Jesus did here on earth can be better understood looking back after the events that took place on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And this is what the disciples had to do as well, right? And this is what we're going to do today. We live as Jesus' disciples forwards, but we learn sometimes by looking backwards. So today we are looking back to look forward. And to do so, we go back to that night in which Jesus was betrayed. We do this to think again about what Jesus is teaching us about love, because his teaching on love is worth rethinking about after the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I think it's important for us to know, before we turn to the words of Jesus, to know exactly when and where these words were spoke by Jesus, because sometimes the when and the where of what we say is more important than the actual words that we say. And that's true here in John chapter 13. John 13, again, it starts in the upper room, Maundy Thursday. He's there with his disciples. Thomas, who will doubt the resurrection appearance, is there. Peter, who'll deny Jesus after he's arrested, he's there. Judas, who's going to betray Jesus and hand him over to those that want to kill him, he's there. And Jesus, knowing all of this to come, what does he do? He washes his disciples' feet. And as we know, washing of the feet in that culture was the job of a servant. We've all heard this type of language before, but what was happening here is Jesus was humbling himself. Jesus was taking on that form of a servant. But to stop and think about what that means now, looking back. Jesus washed Judas' feet, knowing he was going to betray him. He washed Peter's feet, right? Knowing that Peter is going to deny him. He washed Thomas' feet, knowing that he'd doubt him. See, Jesus, he knew all of this would happen. In fact, he predicted it, didn't he? But he still got down on his knees, and he still took that form of a servant, and he humbled himself, and he washed their feet. And I'm thinking, if you want a picture of love, there it is. There it is, Jesus, right down on his knees, washing the feet of his disciples. You know, the betrayer, Judas. Now that's love, isn't it? And Jesus tells us that that's what you and I need to do, is to love one another and to love one another as he has loved us. And he gives this commandment that's up on the screen now. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So the logical question there is what's new about it? What's new about this command to love? Well, the command to love isn't new, right? I mean, that command's been around, and we read Thursday morning Bible study in the Old Testament where the same words occurred, that we are commanded to love God and we are commanded to love our neighbor. And they are repeated often in the Old Testament. They're not new, these words to love the neighbor, but Jesus' commandment is. So what's new about it? Well, it's not love, but loving just as Jesus loved. See, the new part here of this command is that we love one another just as Jesus has loved us. That means that we need to love those that doubt us, that deny us, those that betray us. Why do we do that? Because that's how Jesus loved. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did for us. He loved us and he loves us even when we doubt him, when we betray him, when we deny him. And now he just simply puts it this way and asks us to do that same thing for others. And that is what I really want to focus on today. I want to focus on how to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And you see, what we're doing here, we're going to look back at Jesus' life in this Easter season, and we're going to look at what can we learn about this love. And then, if we are to love as he has loved us, what does it mean for you and I today? So that's why I say we're going to look back to look forward. I want to share then three specific ways that you and I can do this in the best in our humanity, that we can love in the same way that Jesus loved. And first one, coming up on the screen, Jesus teaches us to love without expecting anything in return. Think about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He didn't do so in hopes that he'd get a favor in return. He washed the feet of the disciples with the knowledge that they're going to soon all abandon him and that he's going to die alone on that cross. His love is unconditional. His love has no strings attached. His love is without agenda other than demonstrating God's love for us and showing us what love really looks like. And as I think about it, it's so different than the world's love, is it not? It's sometimes hard to get our minds wrapped around the love of Jesus. But one thing that I've learned over the last 17 years of this journey of ministry is that loving without expecting anything back is very freeing. In some ways, it's easier to love without keeping that score. You know, oh, they owe me one. Yep, I owe them one. It's easier to love without hoping to get anything in return. It's very freeing. But even if it wasn't easier to love this way, it would still be necessary, because Jesus teaches us that that's what it looks like, true love. Here's Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 on the screen. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Jesus once asked. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Loving those who love us, everyone does that. Loving those who don't love us, that's what we do as Christians. And by this world, we know that we are Jesus' disciples if we love unconditionally, we love without agenda, and without expecting one single thing in return. Now, vulnerability is the next one. It's the next thing that Jesus teaches us about love, vulnerability. Now, the word vulnerable, when you look it up in the dictionary, it literally means able to be wounded. So when we are vulnerable, dear friends, we are opening ourselves up to possibly being wounded somehow. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us, though. Dear friends, that we need to open ourselves up to one another in love. We open ourselves up to the possibility then of being wounded by those that we love. And that's exactly what he teaches us. We got to open ourselves up and take that chance, that possibility that we are going to be wounded. There's a young lady named Dr. Brené Brown. There's a picture of her right there. She is a professor at the University of Houston. She's studied this kind of stuff of courage and vulnerability and shame and empathy for like 20-some years. Supposedly, when I looked her up online, she has 6 number one New York Times sellers. She's the host of a couple podcasts. She is a professed Christian. I just ran across some of her stuff looking up vulnerability. But I like what she said about this kind of vulnerable love. It's on the screen. Love is waking every day and loving someone who may or may not love us back, whose safety we can ensure, who may stay in our lives or may leave without a moment's notice, who may be loyal to the day they die or betray us tomorrow. That's vulnerability. That's what Jesus did, right? Jesus loved Judas, who betrayed him. Jesus loved Peter, who denied knowing him. Jesus loved Thomas, who doubted him. And he loves those who abandoned him and even those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus loved in that way that opened himself up to these types of wounds, you see. And he teaches us to do the same. That Brené Brown, again, goes on and says this. It's on the screen for you again. To love is to be vulnerable, to give someone your heart and say, I know this could hurt so bad, but I'm willing to do it. And there is an increasing number of people in the world today that are not willing to take that risk. They'd rather never know love than to know hurt or grief. And that's a huge price to pay. And the reason that this is such a huge price to pay, according to Miss Brown, is popping up on the screen there. We are wired for love. We're hardwired for belonging. It's in our DNA. And how true is it? It's how God created us, right? He's created us to be in relationship with God and to be in relationship with one another. We're created for love. We're created for belonging. We're created for community. And when we reject these things, there's always suffering that goes along with it. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God by his suffering. And he came to show us how to love. And loving in this way, he taught us to be vulnerable, to open our hearts, to take risks. And it's risky. But open hearts are the only kind that can be filled with God's love. Open hearts are the only kind that can be filled with God's love. Love one another, Jesus said, just as I have loved you. Loving in this way without agenda, and it makes us vulnerable. So the third and final way that we can love in the same way that Jesus loved is to love people who are not like us. Jesus loved all kinds of people that were not like him. He loved people who disagreed with him. He loved people who looked at the world very differently than he did. There is no one that Jesus did not love. He was incapable of not loving. He couldn't help himself but to love everyone. But that doesn't mean he didn't challenge them. Okay? That doesn't mean he didn't get frustrated with them. It doesn't mean that he occasionally didn't rebuke people, because he did. I could give you examples out of the scripture, and you know them too, right? Jesus speaking the truth in love. The old commandment from Leviticus says to love our neighbor as ourself, but the new commandment from Jesus is to love even those who are not our neighbor. Jesus loved lepers who were considered unclean and unloved by God. He loved tax collectors, even calling one to be his disciple. Jesus loved Samaritans. He loved prostitutes. He loved the poor. He loved those that society didn't even see. Considered them all neighbors, all loved by God, all deserving of our love. He completely redefined who the neighbor is. That's what's happening here, Jesus. Our neighbor now is anyone and everyone we have opportunity to love. But not only that, Jesus taught us to love our enemies. That's where it gets tough. Just as he loved his enemies. Now, this doesn't mean that we accept or that we agree with what they're doing. Love, according to Jesus, doesn't mean we accept actions that are wrong. That's not what I'm saying here. But Jesus did meet people where they're at, but he didn't leave them there. He tried to move them along, calling them to repent, loving them, forgiving them, inviting them to change their ways. Jesus never loved the sin, but as we say, he loved the sinner, and he still does, and he shows us how to do the same. Loving as Jesus loved, it's not easy. It never will be. Jesus didn't say it would never be easy. And looking back at his life in the light of his death and resurrection, we can see that it wasn't easy for him either, right? It's never going to be easy to love unconditionally, dear friends. To love without agenda, to love without expectation. It's never going to be easy to love in a way that makes us vulnerable, you know, to open ourselves to being hurt. It's never going to be easy to love people who aren't like us. And again, Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. But he said it's possible, or else he wouldn't have commanded it. And it's exactly what he did. He's not asking us to do something that he didn't already do perfectly and already has done. But there's good news in all of this. You know, we know in our humanity that we're not going to do it perfectly, and we know that very well. That's why we're gathered here today. But Jesus still loves us. And when we doubt him, when we deny him, when we betray him, he'll still love us. Because that's what true love looks like. It looks like Jesus. Imagine him kneeling at your feet. Imagine him loving you. And he's asking you to do the same. He says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Looking back at Jesus to look forward as we love one another. We love without judgment. We love without fear. We love without bias or qualification or exception. We love as Christ has loved us. Why? So all the world will know the love of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds sharing the love of Jesus through your word and deed. Amen. Well, why don't we rise together then and confess the Nicene Creed, as you'll see on the screens before you. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll take our offering and collect our tithes at this time. Remember the prayer request cards that are in the pew racks. You can fill those out and drop them in the offering tray. The children's treasure box is up here by the lectern. They can walk up their offering. That'd be great. Ushers, come on forward.
The offering hymn this morning is taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 861. Christ be my leader. Thank you.
If able, please rise for prayer. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word in the holy sacraments. Grant to preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ and to help us to fight the good fight of faith that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace in all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend you to the care of our school so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity. Accept, we implore you, of our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. We also remember those that are needed to be lifted up in our prayers this day. We remember Kay Nelson, who has been hospitalized this weekend after a fall. We pray and lift up Dean Hammond, who has transitioned to hospice care. And also we pray for Herb Dabbert, who had surgery late this last week. You know what is needed in all of their cases, O Lord. You are the great physician, and we commend your care to them. Grant your Holy Spirit also this day to those who come to the Lord's table, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance, firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith in a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising, he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore. We join together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Closing hymn today is taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 549. All hail the power of Jesus' name, verses 1, 2, 3, and 7.
At Zion Lutheran, we are committed to reaching out, strengthening the saved, and serving Jesus Christ by serving others. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday.